begin reading with verse 6. Then she, that would be Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her would be Orpah and Ruth. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go return to each her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. And she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? The book of Ruth is a beautiful book of just 85 verses. It's a story filled with several features. There is a sinful misdirection. There is God's sovereignty, God's providential care and provision for his people. The love of the Lord is illustrated. We see there's spiritual restoration, there's redemption, there's devotion. The book of Ruth is set in the distressing context of the book of Judges. We see that in chapter 1 in verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. So it's during a time of terrible and devastating spiritual decline, a time of national departure from God, time of rebellion, time of waywardness and faithlessness and permissiveness and immorality and idolatry. All of that sets the stage for the book of Ruth. It is also time, being the time of the judges, when God's people were repeatedly oppressed by their enemies, and there basically was an overall atmosphere of spiritual failure. As a result of all this, coming to the book of Ruth, we see also in chapter 1 and verse 1, there was a famine in the land by way of God's judgment. So that tells us there was a great and continuous need, and it was a time of great suffering. In the first five verses, a tale of woe is told. We're told of an honorable Jewish family going to Moab. And as we read on, we see a woman by the name of Orpah, one of Naomi's daughter-in-laws, going the way of Moab. And then we see Naomi and Ruth going in the way of Bethlehem, Judah. We want to take the main thought of the message from three words in verse 7. It's where we're going to gather our thought. And those three words are on the way. And we want to speak this morning on going that way. Going that way. We want to consider an example here of spiritual misdirection. And we want to consider an example of moving in the right direction. And we pray that each one of us would make honest examination of where we live spiritually. Where do we live spiritually? And in what direction are we going spiritually? First of all, we have an example of spiritual misdirection. In chapter 1, in verse 1, two places are mentioned. Bethlehem, Judah, and Moab. Two places. For the purpose of this message, we will say that Bethlehem, Judah is over here. And Moab is over here. Now, Bethlehem, Judah, that of course is two words. Bethlehem meaning house of bread. Judah meaning praise. So Bethlehem, Judah is the house of bread and praise. So over there is the house of bread and praise. It is God's place. It is God's place for God's people. Over here is Moab. Now, Moab was the continuous enemy of Israel. Originated when Lot fathered Moab by an incestuous union with his oldest daughter. In verse 1, we also of chapter 1, we also read of a certain man. And he is introduced to us in verse 2 by the name of Elimelech, meaning God is my king. God is my king. We're also told that he had a wife. Her name is Naomi. And her name means pleasantness. We see also that they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. This Hebrew family lived over here in Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and praise. A wonderful place to live. However, they lived over there in a very challenging time when the judges ruled. And they lived over there in a very difficult and trying time when there was a famine in the land. At some point, Elimelech, we'll assume that he took the lead, but Elimelech and his family under the pressure of this famine, leave Bethlehem, Judah, leave their inheritance in Canaan, and they go that way to Moab to find satisfaction. Now, Moab, of course, was not godly land. It was an idolatrous land, very pagan country. So instead of trusting God in Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and the house of praise, Elimelech, God is my king, and Naomi, pleasantness, take their two sons, and they go that way. They head to Moab. They left the place that God would provide for them. They left the Lord's land to go that way, Moab. We read in verse 1 that they went to sojourn. That is, it was their intention to be there for a short time, to be there only temporarily. They went to sojourn in the land of Moab, and we read, he and his wife and his two sons. May I say that they went to sojourn in Moab not because they needed to. Not because they needed to. Mark it down. You never have to leave Bethlehem, Judah. Never. Under any circumstance. Do you ever have to leave Bethlehem, Judah? Again, Elimelech only planned to sojourn over here in Moab, to be there for a brief time, long enough, I'm sure, to feed his family. Again, it's a famine. I'm sure that Elimelech convinced himself that what he was doing was right. But it's never right to leave Bethlehem, Judah. Never. It's never right to leave the house of bread and the house of praise. I am sure that Elimelech thought that he was fulfilling his responsibility in providing for his family. May I say, you will never fulfill your responsibility leaving Bethlehem, Judah. You'll never fulfill your responsibility by leaving the house of bread and the house of praise. Never. Elimelech, no doubt, thought that he would benefit his family. But again, may I say that you will never, ever benefit yourself or anyone else. You'll never improve your situation by leaving Bethlehem, Judah, the house of praise, the house of bread and the house of praise. I'm sure that Elimelech had good intentions heading this way. But it doesn't matter. No matter what your intentions, it's never a good idea to leave over here and head over here. It's never a good idea to leave Bethlehem, Judah, and head in the direction of Moab. Now, Moab was 30 to 60 miles away from Bethlehem, Judah. Depending upon your geographical location in Bethlehem, Judah, depending on your geographical location in Moab, you're talking 30 to 60 miles. And it was a very, very rugged and steep terrain. Therefore, it would take 7 to 10 days to make the trip from Bethlehem, Judah, to over here, Moab. Can you see Elimelech? God is my king. Naomi, pleasantness. And their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And they're going that way. Four people having left the house of bread, having left the house of praise, and they're going that way. That's a very sad picture. But it gets sadder as you read. In verse 2, the latter part of the verse, it says they came into the country of Moab. So they have left Bethlehem, Judah, and they have traveled long enough going this way till there came a day that they came to Moab. And if you head in the direction of Moab long enough, eventually you will come to Moab. Now, we need to clarify, we're not just talking about physical movement from Bethlehem, Judah to Moab. I'm talking about in our thoughts. However we start moving in the direction from Bethlehem, Judah to Moab, that's what I'm talking about. How do we know that we're moving from the house of bread and praise to over here in Moab? Anything that takes you further from God is going this way. Going to Bethlehem, Judah does not take you further from God. Going to the house of bread and praise does not take you further from God. It takes you closer to God. So whether in your thoughts, with your feet, whatever, if it's taking you further from God, you're going that way. Moab. So we read here in verse 2, they came into the country of Moab. How many times we've heard people say, I don't even know how I got here. Well, you moved that way. You began a journey that way. You may not remember when you began the journey, but if you stay on the journey long enough, you're going to eventually arrive there. And that's what happens here in verse 2. But again, it gets even sadder. It says, and continued there. So they've left Bethlehem, Judah. They've left the house of bread and praise. They've walked long enough, and now they're in Moab, and they continue there. That is, they have gotten comfortable. They have adapted to the lifestyle of Moab. They have continued in Moab. Remember, they just went there temporarily. Then notice in verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Where did he die? In Moab. He left the house of bread and praise. He has come to Moab and he has died. In Moab. Folks, I don't want to die in Moab. I want to die in the house of bread and the house of praise. And you know what will assure that I will die in the house of bread and the house of praise? I don't leave there. But Moab died, or Elimelech died, in Moab. Then notice again verse 3. And she, Naomi, was left. Those are sad words. Was left and her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Where was she left? Moab. If I'm going to experience the death of Sharon, I want it to be in the house of praise, in the house of bread, in the house of praise. I don't want it to be in Moab. She was left. Where? Moab. Moab. Notice verse 4. And they, her two sons, took them wives of the women of Moab. And we're told, we're introduced to them. There's Orpah, not Oprah, Orpah, and Ruth. But then there are sad words again. And they dwelled there about 10 years. They continued there. They dwelled there about 10 years. I want to tell you, 5 minutes away from the house of bread and praise is a long time. 10 years, that's a miserable 10 years. That is a horrible 10 years. 10 years they dwelled in Moab. Notice verse 5. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. Where did they die? Moab. Same place their dad died. Same place. They would have stayed in Bethlehem, Judah. That's the place to die. But no, they died in Moab. And then again, we read, and the woman, Naomi, was left. That's twice we've read that now. She was left of her two sons and her husband. And where was she left? Moab. Moab. But then notice verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law. There came a time when Naomi arose with her daughters-in-law to head back to Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and the house of praise. Now over here in Moab, as you read on in the chapter, you begin to learn some characteristics about Moab. It was a disfiguring place. It was a place that left terrible marks. When Naomi finally returned home to Bethlehem, Judah, her former friends and acquaintances in chapter 1 and verse 19, with a tone of shock and a tone of pity, looked at her and says, "Is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? Is this aged and weary woman the Naomi?" Keep in mind what her name meant: pleasantness. "Is this the once happy and pleasant Naomi that we knew?" And she says, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara." Bitter. Moab had changed her. Moab had left some marks upon Naomi. I'm sure, though it's not recorded, I'm sure they asked, "Naomi, Where's Elimelech? And she would tell the story. Naomi, where's Mahlon and where's Chilion? Where are they? And again, she would tell the story. Again, whether you are mentally or physically going that way, you can sit in church and be going that way. You can be listening to preaching and going that way. You can read your Bible and be going that way. So I'm not just talking physically. We're including that. But we're talking about any realm of going that way. Consider it well. If you're going that way, it is a disfiguring place. It may leave lasting wounds. Moab was a place of emptiness. This family lived in Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and the house of praise. But there was a famine in the land. But let me tell you this. Even though there might be a famine in the Bethlehem, Judah, the child of God will never starve in Bethlehem, Judah. Never. God will provide in Bethlehem, Judah. And they didn't leave because they were starving. They left because they thought they might starve. Because Naomi said in chapter 1 in verse 21, I went out full. They weren't starving. I went out full. But what else did she say? The Lord hath brought me back, or brought me home again, empty. Over here is a place of emptiness. Now, because of the famine that was in the land over here in Bethlehem, Judah, Elimelech looked over there and he thought, I'm better suited over here. There's more over here. And they went out full. But when Naomi came back, she's empty. Going that way, consider it well, is a place of emptiness. And there is no worse emptiness than the emptiness that's being talked about. It isn't just talking about an emptiness of food and resources. But spiritually. You see, so there's Naomi. She's in Moab. She comes back home. But by the time she makes it back to Bethlehem, Judah, the pleasantness has been stripped away. And there she is, broken and crushed in Moab. But we read in verse 6 again, she arose. The reason she did is she heard that back in Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread and praise, God was feeding His people. Well, imagine that. Isn't that a shock? God feeding His people in the house of bread and praise. And she heard that. And she said, I think it's time for me to go back home. Which leads us to our second point. She's now moving in the right direction. Verse 6, she arose with her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth, that she might return from the country of Moab. Notice verse 7. Wherefore, she went out from the place where she was. And there is Orpah, and there is Ruth. They're right beside her, and they're leaving Moab, and they stop. And Ruth, or Naomi, seeks to convince her daughters-in-law to go back here. To go back here. She basically, for time's sake, is simply saying, Orpah, Ruth, you need to return to your homeland, Moab, because I have nothing for you. I'm too old to remarry. And even if I did, and even if I were to have children right away, would you stay unmarried long enough for them to be old enough to marry? I have nothing for you. You need to go back to Moab. And you know what? Did not take much convincing for Orpah to head back to Moab. Didn't take much convincing. And sadly, it doesn't take much convincing for people to go that way. Sadly, even with God's people, it takes more convincing for them to go this way than that way. It takes more convincing for God's people to stay here than to leave here. So Orpah heads back to Moab. Notice verse 15. Naomi now speaks to Ruth. Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back. This had to be a sad time. Perhaps Ruth looks and she can see her sister-in-law going back. Going back to Moab. Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. And she says to Ruth, return thou after thy sister-in-law. And even though Naomi painted a very bleak picture, Ruth could not be persuaded to go that way. That's where we ought to want to be. That no matter how bleak it may look over here, you will never persuade me to leave here to go there. And that was Ruth. She could not be persuaded. Notice verse 16. In verse 17, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And then the best part of it all, thy God shall be my God. And then you read down there in verse 17, she was willing to go until she died. This was not a short time commitment. Ruth could not be persuaded to leave the house of bread and the house of praise. In fact, we read in verse 18 that she was steadfastly minded to go that way. She made a commitment that extended all the way to death. Naomi, I'm going that way. Yes, Orpah went this way, but I'm going that way. And it extended all the way to death. She devotes her remaining days to going that way. Naomi and Ruth are now on their way to Bethlehem, Judah. And all along the way, in spite of the difficulties and the challenges, I believe Ruth was steadfastly minded to keep heading that way. Keep heading that way. Don't let anything deter me from heading that way. Again, I'm not just talking physically. I'm talking mentally also. Every realm. She was steadfastly minded. Nothing would deter her. Then, We read in verse 19, "So they two went until they came to Bethlehem." Remember, they came to Moab. You travel long enough this direction, you'll eventually come here. But if you travel long enough in that direction, you will eventually come here. And they came to Bethlehem. Naomi is home. Naomi is back home in the house of bread and praise. Whatever they went through on that journey, it was worth it all when they got to Bethlehem, Judah. And that is still true today. Whatever you have to go through going this way, it'll be worth it all. Just keep on going this way. It'll be worth it all. Once they arrive in Bethlehem, Judah, we learn many things concerning this place. And that ought to be an incentive. What we learn about Bethlehem, Judah, ought to be an incentive for you and I to keep going that way. We need to be steadfastly minded to stay on the way to Bethlehem, Judah. And here's why. There's bread for my soul here. It's the house of bread and praise. There's no bread for my soul here. But this way, there's bread for my soul. This world is a place of filth. This world is a place of spiritual bankruptcy. It is a place of spiritual imprisonments. This world is a place of bitterness. It is a place of restlessness. But over there is the house of bread and the house of praise. And it's over here that God has provided bread for my soul. So no matter what's going on in my life, I need to be moving in this direction. I need to be going that way. Bethlehem, Judah. God knows you and I. He knows our circumstances. He knows our cares. He knows our burdens. He knows our difficulties. He knows all of our problems. He knows all of our trials. He knows every doubt that we have. He knows every emotion that we feel. He knows every struggle and every obstacle that we face. He knows our every sin. He knows our present condition. He knows our present need. And in the midst of it all, if you stop and listen, no matter what direction you're headed, if you're headed this way, stop and listen, because God is telling you, "My son, my daughter, turn around. I've got bread for you that way." And if you're headed that way, you may have to go through some hard times. There was a famine in the land. There may be some difficulties. But if you stop and listen, God will say, "Just keep on going that way. Because I've got bread for you over there." So we ought to move toward Bethlehem, Judah, because there's bread. We also need to move in that direction because that's where the blessings of God are. All that Naomi had to show for Moab was a dead husband and dead sons. Shattered dreams, bitterness, and emptiness. That's all she has to show for Moab. But over there is the house of bread and praise. And there's a field over there. Remember Ruth? Gleaning in the field. Oh, we need to go that way. Why? Because there's a field over there that I can work in, that I can serve God in. There's a field over there. There's a loving master over here. There's a worthwhile cause to get involved in over here. There's a life worth living over here. Oh, the things people get involved in over here in Moab. How sad. We've all been there. Some may still be living there. Some may be headed there. I don't know. We need to be steadfastly minded to stay in the way of Bethlehem, Judah. Because there's a table over there spread for us. Read in chapter 2 and we see that Ruth is sitting at the table with Boaz and his servants. You and I that are saved, we don't have to feed on the husk of Moab. If you think for one moment, well, I've got to be here for a little while, the devil has deceived you. You don't have to be there. And you don't have to feed upon the husk there. There's a table over here. And we need to be going that way at all times. We also need to be steadfastly minded to keep going that way, to Bethlehem, Judah. Because according to verse 16 of chapter 2, there are some handfuls of purpose over there. Over there, God has drop some things on purpose for you and I to glean over there. We don't have time to go into the story, but most everybody here knows the story. How the reapers were instructed to drop on purpose for Ruth, and she was to glean. God has special things for us over here in Bethlehem, Judah. And He drops them on purpose for you and I to gather. In Bethlehem, Judah, dropped on purpose from the very hand of God, precious things. Things that I'll never find over here. You can dig through the sand all you want over here in Moab, and you'll never find the precious things that you'll find over here in Bethlehem, Judah. God drops on purpose some precious things. Some things that'll be a great help to us. Some things that'll be a great encouragement to us. Things that will strengthen us. Things that'll comfort us. Too many are headed this way, or they're already over here, and they're looking for comfort. The comfort's over there in Bethlehem, Judah. Need to be going that way. Drops things for us that will prepare us. What God drops over here will prepare me for tomorrow. Drops things that will instruct us and assure us and reassure us. Things that will draw us closer to Him. Things that will just bless our souls. And you see in chapter 2 and verse 17 that she gleaned in the field until evening. And beat out that she had gleaned, it was about an ephah of barley, which is 10 omers, according to Exodus 16 verse 36. And an omer was what the children of Israel were to gather each day in Exodus 16 and verse 16. So she gathered 10 times the amount over here in Bethlehem, Judah, which enabled her to be a blessing to others. You want to be a blessing to others? Stay in Bethlehem, Judah! Don't leave. Always be moving in that direction. And you can be a blessing to others. We also need to be steadfastly minded to go this way. Because over here, there is a beloved. In the book of Ruth, his name is Boaz. And we realize Ruth had no idea Boaz was there, but you and I know he's there. And that's why we ought to be moving in that direction. Our Boaz is over here. Our Boaz is Jesus. And when Ruth got to Bethlehem, Judah, what did she do? She spent the day with Boaz. That's the way we need to be moving. In the direction that will allow us to spend the day with Boaz. But it gets better. You see, over here, it just got worse and worse and worse. But over here, it just keeps getting better and better. She not only spent the day with Boaz, she ended up spending her life with Boaz. We need to be going that way. Because over here is Jesus. And it's over here that I can spend the day with Him. Oh, don't kid yourself. Don't think that you're going to spend your life with Jesus here in Moab. It's not going to happen. You got to go this way. You got to go that way. So there's Ruth spending her life in Bethlehem, Judah. Spending her life with Boaz to the point where she's mentioned in the genealogy, Jesus Christ. Over there, the most precious, the most lovely, the most beautiful, the most meaningful, the most influential one that ever was. He's over there in Bethlehem, Judah. The one who has wiped more tears than anyone else. The one who has brought more comfort than anyone else. The one who has mended that which is broken more than anyone else. He's over here. And over here, there he is. And he loves me. And he has everything I need. It just makes sense for me to be going that way. It makes no sense for me to turn my back on the house of bread and praise, to turn my back on Boaz and go that way. It makes no sense. None whatsoever. It is always best for me to go that way. In closing, I ask you today, where do you live spiritually? I ask you today, again, either mentally, physically, which way are we going? Moab or Bethlehem, Judah? If you're on the way to Moab, again, mentally, physically, you're on your way to a spiritual wasteland. Perhaps you've already arrived there. You're on your way to a place of barrenness and emptiness and desolation. A place of cruelty that will leave its marks and strip you of any pleasantness that you have. If you're heading in the direction of Moab, stop right where you are. If in your mind you're on your way to Moab, physically if you're on your way to Moab, wherever you are in that journey, stop where you are. Fall down on your knees and repent. And turn your back on Moab and head that way. It's the best advice that I can possibly give you. Stop where you are. Well, I've got to do a few things first. Stop where you are. Don't you understand? Doing a few things first may cause you to end up right in the midst of Moab. You don't have time. Stop where you are. Turn around and go that way. And I hope and I pray that individually we will go that way. And no matter how fierce the winds are, and no matter how fierce the storms are, and no matter what the obstacles are, we may be slowed down on our way, but we're going to keep going that way. We're never going to go back that way. Because no matter what I have to go through going that way, one day I'll arrive in Bethlehem if I continue long enough. It's more than a 5-minute journey. It takes a while. We need to head that way. As a church, we need to all be heading that way. Mentally, emotionally, physically, we need to be heading that way. Which way are you headed today? You know, I'm glad. When I was lost, all I knew was Moab. That's all I knew. I'm glad today, and this is true of all of us that are saved, every one of us that are saved, we lived here. You may still. I hope you do. But every one of us that are saved, we have experienced Bethlehem, Judah. And even if you arrive in Moab, you've got to know over there is Bethlehem, Judah. And just like Naomi came home, I think it's time for God's people that have arrived in Moab or are going that way, it's time for them to head home to Bethlehem, Judah. Things may get rough. We have no idea what we're going to have to face in the very, very near future. But I'll tell you this, I'd rather experience it in Bethlehem, Judah than Moab. Whatever trials are coming in my life, whatever afflictions are coming in my life, I know this, I'll be able to handle them better over here than over here. So let's go that way. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.